glad I'm part of the church. I'm so glad my name's written in Lamb's Book of Life. And got that settled. Got that settled about 52 years ago. And I'm going to get into tonight what the church is and what the church is not. And just kind of a reminder. And I like this passage. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 12, we're going to pick it up. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. Boy, that bond or free there, I don't know how. I'd love to be in the church and see how these guys handled that back when slavery was going on in the country. Because right there, bond or free, and have been made to all drink into one Spirit. So we're all equal. Amen? There is no place for racism in God's church. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not of an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Put a star by that one. It pleases God to put us in the church. And when we go to leave God's church, there ought to be a good reason for it. One is we move away, like the Tony and Connie did. What's the last name? Kalamazoo. They moved away. So that's a reason to leave the church. Or if there's a spiritual problem with the church, that's a reason. But if you have a bad day at church, that's not a reason to quit church. That is sin, because God put you in the church as it pleased him. And so you'll hear some people say, well, we just feel like we've grown. We're being led by, led to go somewhere else. And we've been praying. Well, sometimes people pray to justify their own sin. And so when God puts you in a ministry, it's very serious. God has put you there because God wants to use that gift that he's given you for his glory. What did you just sing? What's the title of that song? New Name Written Down in Glory. Amen? And so God has put us all in the church that we are to take our spiritual gifts and to use them for God's glory. Let me move on. Verse number 19. If they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they all many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again to the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. That's another key verse. We're blessed to have Douglas with us. This morning he got up and made noise getting up and getting out of the sanctuary about at least a half a dozen times. But you know something? Nay, the more feeble are necessary. He's necessary in his church. God has given him. Sometimes God gives us tests. Somebody like Douglas, or we had some other people in our church challenged, and God wants to see how we're going to deal with them. Are you going to be loving to Douglas as you are to Dolores? And I believe sometimes we're given tests. I really do. Anyway, and verse 23, And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow a more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, having gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. With that, let's go ahead and pray. Father, again, we thank you for this night and the opportunity to be in your house tonight. I pray that you bless your word as it goes out tonight. As always, I pray that the words that go out tonight would not be mine, but they would be yours. I pray that your Holy Spirit right now would give me the opportunity to speak tonight. I don't want to waste anybody's time, but I want us to take a look at the church tonight. And God, the church is yours. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And the church is not a building, but the church is the body of Christ. And we're so blessed to be a part of that. And I pray that we'd never forget the importance of your church. And so bless tonight's service. Bless now the preaching part of the service and the preaching of the Word of God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, tonight I want to explore just what is the church. I'm not going to get into anything earth-shattering tonight with you. You are the church, and everybody here knows that. But from time to time, we need to be reminded of the simple things of God and some of the great passages that God gives us in His Scripture, in the epistolary literature. So this is more of a teaching message tonight, and which Sunday night should be more about the function of the church. What does God want us to do? And so from this passage of Scripture that I just read, the word body is emphasized some 18 times referring to the church. So the word member or members is spoken some 14 times. And in this chapter, we have reference to the Holy Spirit of God 11 times. So clearly, in this passage written by the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, you come away with the conclusion that the church is put in commission by God Himself, placing members into the body. And so, 1 Corinthians 12:18, but now hath God set, one of my favorite verses of this passage, but now hath God set members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Now, I'll tell you right now, I've seen about everything that I think that every trick that every pastor wants to do and all that to try to get people to come to church and get people to join the church. And I've seen pastors that actually go to other churches that are huge congregations and see, what are they doing? What can I do to get a huge church one day? Well, what it is, it's generational is what it is. And when people get saved and they raise up their family in church, all of us should try to bring our family into church. My family, my daughter, and my son-in-law, they live down in Taylor and downriver. And you know what? I think they just wanted to get away from Dad. And that's fine. They're in church. They're in church. I think that they didn't want, you know, it's hard being a PK, a preacher's kid, and my daughter wanted a little freedom. But you know what? I think my daughter right now is more spiritual. She even cleans her house. She cooks. She bakes. She does all these things. I couldn't get her to clean her room. Praise the Lord. Okay? And so I've often looked at her and said, who are you? What did you do with my daughter? But, hey, praise the Lord, she's in church. Amen. And the most important thing is that her and my son-in-law belong to a church down in Taylor, Beacon Baptist Church, and my grandson belongs to that church, and you know what? God bless them. I'm just so happy that my daughter is in church, and I've seen so many kids go to church all their lives, and then all of a sudden they turn 18 or whatever, they move out of the house, they get married, and then they're out of church. And I'm thankful that my daughter could have done the same thing, but something stuck. And so I love this church but now hath God set the members of every one of them in the body as it pleased Him. And so when it pleases God, when we do what God wants us to do and the way God wants us to do it, because it's His church, then we'll see visitors come in. And when we see that dries up and we don't see a flow of visitors coming in and all that, we are doing something wrong from the top down. Amen? The first person I look at is myself as the pastor of the church. What am I doing wrong? You know? And so God is not going to, God is not going to send people to this church if we are not walking with God. What did I preach on this morning? Walking with God. Amen? If we are not walking with God in a pleasing way to God, why would He send somebody here if we're a bunch of phonies? If we don't love God? If we're not talking to God? If we're not giving back to God? If we're not worshiping God? All these things come into play. And if we're not doing things that are pleasing to God, then God can stop sending people to visit us. Amen? I truly believe that. So what is what the church is and is not? Number one, it's not a building. God has blessed us with a beautiful building. Amen? I can't believe that. It's hard for me to believe that. My wife and I walked in about 18 plus years ago, nothing but a Bible in my hand. And the month before, we had been at a revival, and a brother preached, and God had used that man. I come to find out when he went home to be with the Lord that one man that was called to a ministry of being a lawyer for Baptist churches, that was his ministry. He was a lawyer, and he was a lawyer for Baptist churches. And he said, if you've been influenced by Dr. Roy Thompson to start a ministry, would you send in and let me know and give a little testimony? Anyway, there was like 35 pastors and missionaries or whatever that sent in and said yes. After he preached, I started my ministry. Well, I was one of the 30-some pastors. He preached, and I looked at my wife. He preached on Psalm 23, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. And Wednesday night, when he preached that last night, he looked at his wife, Faith, and he said, remember when we started Cleveland Baptist Church, and we started with 11 people, and then we went to 20, and then 30, and so on and so forth? And then I leaned over to my wife, I said, I know what God wants us to do now. What's that? I said, I'll tell you in the car. We got out in the car, and she said, well, what is it? What does God want us to do? I said, God wants me to start a church. Not to go candidate for somebody else's church, but to actually start a church. Where at? I said, I don't know, but someplace north of here, we were in Ypsilanti, going to church in Ypsilanti. I said, somewhere north of here, and so we don't take anybody with us, nobody follows us, and it was 35 miles away, and I looked on the internet, and Victory Baptist Church on Grand River, the building was up for sale. That building was not the church. That building is just a building. And so the church is not a building. Long story short, you all know the story. They put it to a vote the following week. They had 2 weeks from when I first got there, and they ended up voting 10-0. They got everybody together that they could. The church crumbled because the pastor fell in sin, and so it was a 10-0 vote given the keys. And so we started the church. God placed that, you know, and the former pastor's wife had said to my mother, said, boy, I wish we wouldn't have given him the church. Nobody gave me a church. It was a building, and nobody gave me the building. What they gave me was debt. And I went and signed my name for $287,000. And I signed my name three more times, or four more times. And so nobody ever gave us anything, but God had put in our hands the opportunity, and God is so good. And especially that building, I got to tell you something, that building had everything in it. Every time we needed something, go out in the garage and just hunt. Dig. You'll find it. It's there. And God is so good. You know, that's a great thing about starting a church. When you start a church from scratch, you see that all the blessings from the hand of God, where God literally blesses the church and says, I'll take care of this. I'll take care of that. I'll take care of this. I'll take care of that. You know, I feel bad for some people that go and actually candidate for a church. Because when they do, a church might be, you know, 100 years old or 50 years old or 75 years old when they go there. And they don't see the hand of God that is supplying all the needs from the beginning. Boy, I'm so glad we got to see that from the beginning. Y'all, I don't know if y'all looked at that. We got a photo album out there in the foyer, but it has a lot of pictures of when we first started. And what a blessing. Anyway, to the world, they drive by and they see the building, and they refer to our building as the church. The church are the people. It was Stephen that said this in Acts 7, 47, but Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. It was Paul when he was in Athens. He said this in Acts 17, 24, God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. So the building that we meet in and the other building that we met in on Grand River was built with hands. And I appreciate the hands that built the building. But folks, the building is not the church. It's a building. Amen? So the church also is not a denomination. While I do belong to a Baptist church, and the reason why I do is to differentiate from all the other different denominations that are out there, the church is the church. The denomination just kind of indicates how we believe. And so this body of believers is independent of any other organization. We do not belong to like the Southern Baptist organization. We don't have anybody telling us what missionaries we are to support. We don't have anybody telling us what Bible to use. We are independent. I like being independent because the boss is Jesus. And when the pastor is listening to the Lord Jesus Christ, hopefully the pastor's listening to the Lord Jesus Christ, then that church will survive and go in the right direction. I still can't believe we've been around for almost going on 19 years now. We're not a baby church anymore. And that's because of God. That's because of God's hand of blessing. So anyway, the only ties we have to other Baptist churches are fellowship. And so even the church that sent us out, we were sent out by New Life Bible Baptist Church. I don't call up Pastor Mack and ask him what I should preach on. He doesn't tell me, Brother Lee, this is what you need to do. Do this, do that, do this, do that. No, we are independent. And again, I ask God what we need to do. When we look at Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the Bible tells us, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And I like to say, when the wind blew, amen? I probably bringing a message coming up about the wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire. There was fire that day in church. And it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Then the Bible tells us down at the bottom of that chapter in Acts chapter number 2, in the middle of it, Peter got up and preached boldly. It was the first Holy Ghost filled preacher that stood up and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ and boldly with no fear. And that's the way those guys were till their death. They preached the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ until they all got martyred. A martyr's death. That right there is evidence, proof of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He is who He said He was, because no man would die for a lie. And so we see down there in verse 42, the first church got started in Acts chapter number 2, and they continued steadfastly in the apostle doctrine, fellowship, and its breaking of bread, and then prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and they had all things common. Amen. And they sold their possessions and all the goods and parted them to every man as they had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. Daily, they didn't meet on Sundays and Wednesdays. They met Sunday through Saturday. Amen. Daily, they met daily in the church in God's house. And they sold all their possessions and they parted them to all men, every man as they had need, and they continued daily with the accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. That singleness of heart, again, that is right there. That singleness of heart is the only place in the Bible where we see that phrase, singleness of heart. And praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. Again, when God is pleased with the worship in the house of God, He adds to the church as should be saved. When I look at that passage right there, I always enjoy preaching. I'll tell you, Brother Chet one day, he was here, and I was teaching him how to preach, and he had a senior ministry, and this is Charlene's son, and for those of you that haven't met him. And I told him, I said, you know, the biggest fear for a young preacher is what are they going to preach on next? And so sometimes young preachers, they get a message, they think, well, I got this one down. This is my go-to message. It's almost like a stump speech for a politician. You know, I'm going to keep this one in my pocket, bring it out. Well, it's the power of the Holy Ghost that gives a message power, gives it a little oomph. It's not the preacher. And I told Chet, I said, what you need to do is understand this, is that God will bless anything that you ask Him to bless. So I opened up the Bible, and we just happened to open up to this page, and I went like this, and I just pointed, and I looked down, and it was this passage. And I said, all right, here's what we're going to do. I want you to ask God. He was going to preach that next week at his senior ministry. And I said, I want you to go ahead and come up with a message on this passage. I want you to ask God to bless it and give you what you need to preach. And I said, I'm going to ask God to bless it and give me something to preach on that particular passage. And we'll see what we come up with. He said, all right, sounds good. So he did, and I did. And so, of course, I preached first on Sunday morning. And I preached on this passage from verse 42 down to verse 47. And after I was done preaching, I went down and talked to Chet. Chet said, well, my message is nothing like your message. I said, it's not supposed to be. Now you go take your message and go preach to your people. And he did. It was a totally different message. Same passage, same God, different people. And so that's how pastors come up with messages. We turn to the Bible and we ask God, God, would you bless this passage? Would you show me a nugget? Would you show me something in this passage? Something that you would want me to preach to your people? And by the way, the interesting thing is I've actually typed out a complete message and was wrestling with it back and forth, just wrestling with it. And I don't know if this happened to you, Brother Kevin, or not, but if you, well, you write yours out. I don't think you use a computer. But I got all the way finished, and then it went blank. And I didn't get upset or anything. I said, okay, God, I get it. I'm not supposed to preach that. After I just put several hours into it. Isn't God good? I spared you all the aggravation of listening to something that God didn't want you to hear. God is good. So what the church is? The church is an independent body that worships and serves together. And man, when we get it together and we are all on the same page, that's when church is fun. Second, the church is a body with a head. It's a body with a head. God is clear in His Word who the head of the body is. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 18 through 22, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. You've often heard your pastor say, make God preeminent in your life. God is to be number one. I love my wife dearly. She is a blessing to me. I love my wife more now than I did when we got married. But I got to tell you something. I'm going to let you in on something, and this is true. God is first. My wife is second. And you may say, well, no, I don't believe that, Pastor. Well, yeah, I got proof of that, and I'm not going to get into that. But the fact of the matter is that when I make God preeminent in my life, when God is number one and my wife is number two, God blesses. God expects. Don't you all remember a story back in the Bible somewhere? Some old man had some kid. Abraham had a son named Isaac, was it? And God said, I want you to go and I want you to sacrifice your son to show me that you truly love me. And he had that. He took the wood, he took the fire, he had everything, he took his son, and he's over 100 years old, and his son's a teenager. Anywhere from a teenager to Josephus says, is the first century historian, Jewish historian, he said he could have been as old as 25. And he walked up to a place to sacrifice him. He sacrificed him right where the Temple Mount is. And he laid him down, you know, and his son Isaac says, Father, we got the wood, we got the, you know, you got the knife, you got all the stuff, but where's the sacrifice? He said, God will provide. And he was ready to kill his son that day, ready to plunge that knife into his heart, knowing that God would resurrect him, because he told him, he said, I'm going to bless all nations through you. And he trusted God. This time he trusted God. He didn't trust God when it came to his wife and he said, oh, that's my sister. He didn't trust God when God said, I'm going to give you a son to bless all nations. And he goes into Sarah's handmaiden, Hagar, and has Ishmael. He didn't trust God then. But this time, he finally learned to trust God. You see, when we start out in our mission walking with God, we may not trust God all the way. Let's be honest. We may not trust God in giving back to Him His tithe. We may not trust God when it comes to prayer. We may not trust God all the way and believe everything in the Bible. But there comes a time, folks, listen, with all of us in our walk with God, that eventually it clicks and we trust God. And this time for Abraham, it clicked and he trusted God. And he took the one thing he loved the most, his son, the son that he was going to bless all nations, laid him down, and imagine this young man. He could have got away from a 100-year-old man, but instead he trusted his father because he saw that his father worshiped God. Don't you underestimate what your kids see when they watch you worship God. Don't you underestimate what your posterity, your grandkids see when they see you worship God. Don't you worry about, well, I missed a lot of years in church. Well, at least you're in church now. And at least you're worshiping God now, and everybody's watching you. And he raised that knife, ready to plunge it in Isaac, and God said, stop. Now I know that you love me. What did he do? He made God preeminent. And that's what God deserves. That's what God expects. And God must be preeminent. And whether we get it now or not, eventually I pray that all the church would get it, that God needs to be preeminent in our life. Number one, above everybody and everything. even our kids, our grandkids, our spouses, whoever's in our life, God must be number one. If we want the full blessings of God, God must be number one. I'm trying to help you all tonight. Amen? I wouldn't tell you anything that's wrong. And so anyway, back here in Colossians chapter number 1, 18, and he's the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of the flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. We see Paul wrote the church at Ephesus, and in the first chapter, verses 21 and 22, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. So the church is not headed up by a pastor. The head of the church is not the pastor. The head of a church is not the Pope. It amazes me how some people think that when they meet the Pope that they're meeting somebody that's supernatural. He's a man. He's a man, and that's it. And I'm not going to give you my opinion of all that, because some of you came out of the Catholic Church, but I'm going to tell you, he is just a man. That's it. And he has to be saved like everybody else. He's a sinner. Nothing holy about him. And every pope should denounce being called Holy Father. I couldn't imagine anybody walking up to me, because he's no different to me, other than I know I'm saved. I'm not knocking the Pope. I hope he is saved. I really do. I hope every Catholic person, and if any Catholics, I know I got Catholic people in my family, and all, I want everybody to get saved. I really do. But you're not going to get saved by being a member of a church. You're not going to get saved by Jesus Christ plus anything else. Jesus Christ plus being a member of the church. You're not going to be part of that church when you're a baby and they sprinkle water on you and say, now you're baptized into the church. I don't want to be baptized into the church. I want to be baptized into Jesus. Baptized into means recognized with. And so when I got baptized with my wife, I was 33 years old. And I'll tell you, baptism wasn't emphasized as much when I was a kid going to church. I got saved when I was 10. They had baptisms at night. And so we didn't go back to Sunday night church a lot of times. Could you imagine if we did baptisms at night, how many people would miss all the baptisms? Because as you can see, a lot of the church stays home on Sunday nights. And it's important for people to see the importance of baptism, because when I got baptized, man, I'll tell you what, for my wife and me, I said, you know what, I want to be, I'm all in on this. I don't want to be like a lot of people I know that have still keep their own lifestyle. I want a new lifestyle. No more alcohol in my life. That was a big hurdle. I'd already quit smoking a year and a half or so before that. When I was a kid, you were trained to smoke. Thank God I got rid of that. Oh, yeah. Come on now. You remember those beanbag ashtrays? Or how about the spinner ashtray? And then how about the big old tub ashtray to go on the coffee table? That puppy would hold about 3-4 packs before he emptied it if he wanted to. Or you got matching ashtrays, one on each end of the couch. And, an ashtray could be a weapon. You could get those solid glass ones. I think on Colombo, there's probably a couple people got killed by ashtrays. Take those and just whack them across the head. The doctor I went to see, the family doctor smoked. While he saw me, he came in with a cigarette. And there was ashtrays out in the doctor's office, in the lobby where everybody sat. When you were on an airplane, the smoking section was row 22 or 23 on back, and row 22 is non-smoking. So the guy behind you was smoking and blowing it in your head. Those were the days, amen. And when we were kids, I can remember that after church, we went to my granny's house out in Detroit, off Livernois, Devereaux, and by Michigan Avenue in Livernois area. And we'd go there, and we'd have ham and all that ham dinner and everything. And then they'd play cards afterwards, all the adults. And I had my aunts and my uncles and my mom, my dad, my grandparents, and everybody smoked. And our eyes were bleeding, and we had to go sit in the living room and shut up, don't talk, you know. Then they finally give us a quarter each, and we go to the store and get us a bag full of candy, amen, and get out of that house. But that's how we were raised. And I know a lot of you were too. A lot of you older people were. And that smoking, over 50% of the adult population smoked cigarettes. So everybody, it was nothing to walk in somebody's house and smoke a cigarette. You know, I stole my first cigarette when I was 9. What a bad habit. You know, I looked at the price of cigarettes the other day. The former pack that I used to smoke is now $12.89 or something like that, a pack. And you get nothing out of it. Nothing. I'm so glad that God helped me stop smoking. And that happened before I got baptized. When I got baptized, though, God helped me clean up my life. And I was so proud of being baptized that I went back to work and I was telling everybody I got baptized. And, you know, people are like, okay, great. I was proud of the fact that I was baptized. I was a new creature when I got saved, but again, I was refreshed when I got baptized. And I'm going to tell you, it changed our life. It changed our walk with God. And when you're baptized, you're reconciling yourself to following Jesus, not just being saved, but being a follower of Jesus. And I tell you, it was a big deal in my life. Jesus said this, John 8:29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. That's what a person that is baptized, that's the way they ought to be. In Matthew 3:17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So God was able to declare his pleasure after 30 years of a sinless walk with his Son. In Ephesians 5:23, Paul says this, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Again, in Colossians 1:18-19, and he's the head of the body, the church, from the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And it was Paul that found out who that head was in Acts chapter 9 when he was walking down that road, and all of a sudden God got his attention. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ, the one that stood silent before Pilate, he struck Paul down blind. And he said, Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecutest me? And when he said, why dost thou persecutest me? He was saying, why do you persecute my church? I'm the head, they're the body. You know, when God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, don't you worry about taking out vengeance on anybody that does you wrong. If there's something that needs to be done, God will take care of it. Because you are God. If you're saved, if your name's in that Lamb's Book of Life, And you're a child of God, God has his arms around you. He's got you wrapped up. He's got his angels watching over you. I truly believe that. I'm not talking about guardian angels. I'm talking about angels. And those angels have a hedge of protection around you. And God loves you. And just as you love your own children, God loves you more. Because he gave up his only begotten Son to die for you and for me. Third, the church is a body. The church has a head. and the church has a powerful authority. There's an authority of the church. You know what that is? The Word of God. The authority of the church is the Word of God. Remember, brother, when there was somebody again when we started this church, and it was on the second week, I had a charter membership Sunday, and a certain person had said, "Well, I've never seen a pastor have a charter membership Sunday without a constitution." And so when I walked up to the pulpit, I said, "I've heard that some of you are confused about me having a charter membership Sunday without a constitution. This is our constitution. Right here." Amen. Matthew chapter number 4, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, 41st day, remember I told you about that this morning, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up in the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God..." You know, he was so dumb to do that because Jesus created him. He created everything by him, for him. "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up to an exceedingly high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Again, God needs to be preeminent. Even God the Father was preeminent with God the Son. We must make God preeminent in our life. And at the most weakest time, the head of the church, it was by the Word of God that Satan succumbed to the authority. Bible tells us in Romans 10:17 that so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And again, Acts 2:42, I already said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. In 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. When Paul recounted to the Thessalonians his credibility, it came not by his words, it came by the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God which ye heard of us, ye received that ye word, he's talking to the whole church, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The Word of God is the authority of the church, and it works in us. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God, it saturates in us. I want to be saturated from head to toe with the Word of God. When I'm saturated with the Word of God, when I get alone and study, I don't know about you, Brother Mark, but I have to. I shut my doors, and when I'm studying for whether it's Sunday school or message or whatever, I have to have quiet, and I read the Word of God. I might read a commentary too, but it is God that puts everything together, and God gives me the words to speak. It is God that gives me those words. Nobody else. I don't go on AI. I don't go on internet. I don't go on. Some guys go on sermoncentral.com. I've seen that. I've gone on there to try to get some ideas. And you know something? I can never get an idea from there. Never. I can never. I've gone on there. I think I've maybe tried to get a title or something out of there. But as a man of God, I cannot take another man's sermon and make it mine. I must get it from God. If it doesn't come from God, it's no good. The words will go this far and drop to the floor, and you'll be saying, "What in the world is he trying to say?" Like just like the fellow we had one time years ago that decided he wanted to jump up and just go ahead and sing a song. And he opened up that hymn book and he started to try to sing, and the word, he couldn't sing it. It was a hymn book. A hymn. He tried twice and failed. And then there was a woman in a church. She decided to get up and help him. She opened up the hymn book. "I'm going to help you sing the song." She couldn't sing it. Finally, we had a guy that was kind of loud in our church. He said, "Give him the hook." And finally, I looked at him. I said, "Come on down. Come on down." He was so embarrassed. He ran into church. He went upstairs. He went into the sanctuary. Got on his knees before at the altar. At least he did the right thing. She didn't, but he did. And he got up there and he prayed and he asked God to forgive him. Forgive him for what he just did. He was totally 100% in the flesh. It was all about him. And when it's all about me, God will not give it to you. Those words, they'll fall right to the floor. I don't care if you're a preacher, you're a singer, you're a banjo player. I don't care what you do for the Lord. But if you're not doing it for God and you're doing it for you, it's not going to work. All God's people said, that's true. It's true. Amen. Peter said this. Peter declared that if any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I have something that religion doesn't have. I got something that cults cannot explain away. But he said, Jesus said, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. I already said this, but Hebrews 4:12, here's the one. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You can walk in God's house with any kind of attitude or chip on your shoulder like I did, some 29 years ago, whatever it was, and I had a chip on my shoulder, and first I had a woman greeter, Bev Byron, that smiled, a big old smile about this big, and she said, "Welcome." Flicked that chip off my shoulder. Then I went in, and the pastor, how dare he? He preached the Word of God. And that Word of God just went right in my heart. And nobody had to tell me to come back next week. Ever since then, whenever the church doors were open, my wife and me and my daughter were in the house of God. Because when the man of the house gets it, the rest of the family will follow. Boy, I'll tell you what, I got it. I was so mad at myself that I'd been out of God's house for 20 years. Oh, I blamed it on everything. My father, the way he treated me as a kid, and his death and all kinds of things. No, there comes a point where we take responsibility for ourselves. And it was my fault that I wasn't leading our marriage. Thank God our marriage stayed together. Those times that we weren't in church. But I thank God, though. God is so forgiving. Christianity, I've often told people that it's not about yesterday, it's about today and going forward. Amen? Just start worshiping God, making Him preeminent in your life, and all that other junk doesn't matter. And together, my wife and me, we've grown in the Lord all these years, and it's not a question whether or not we go to church. We love going to church. Services are cut out all over the place. No more Sunday night services. Because people don't want to go. Well, you know what? If it's just my wife and me, will come. Even if it's just us two, we'll sit here and pray. But I see that we got more people than us too. So why don't we grow from here? God is preeminent in my life, my wife's life, and I hope He becomes preeminent in all of our lives. Okay, so there's the body, the head, and the authority. Let me just say this last thing real quick. I'm just going to give you 2 minutes on this. So the church is a body with a head and authority. But the church also is a place that has a function. We as a church, we got a function. Back to our text, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7. Now there are diversities, gifts, same gift, but the same Spirit, capital S Spirit, Holy Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. In the second chapter of the Bible, we get a little bit of a picture of the church. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now the bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Notice Adam was put to sleep, likened to the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross. Adam's side was opened on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, his side was opened. Out of Adam came a new body, Eve. And out of Christ came a new body, the church. And Eve was the bride of Adam. The church is the bride of Christ. So, therefore shall man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into one Spirit," capital S Spirit. And Acts 2:46-7, and they continuing daily, why daily? Because they were looking forward to Jesus busting through the clouds and bringing back. Those angels said, "Why do you stand here gazing?" In Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, "Why do you stand here gazing? This same Jesus is coming back in like manner." 1 Thessalonians, Paul had to write a second letter to them because the church of Thessalonica, all the men stopped working. Why? They were looking for the return of Jesus to come back. They were standing outside looking for him to come back. And in Paul's second letter, he said, "Hey, if a man doesn't work, he ought not to eat. Get back to work." That was 2,000 years ago they were looking for Jesus to come back. I'll tell you what, I hope I see it. I hope I see the rapture. I really do. Everything's all set up. I really believe that we're going to see it. I do believe my grandson's going to see it for sure. Whether or not we do, us older people, you know, I don't know. But everything has been accomplished, spiritually speaking, that needs to have been accomplished. All the 10 toes of Daniel's, that was done in 1981. There's a whole lot more toes than 10. Everything's ready for Jesus to come back. The table's set. What is the church? It's a body of believers. It's a body with a head, the Son of God. It's a body of believers under the authority of the Word of God. And it is a body that's empowered with a function. This year, 2026, I'm looking forward to doing more than I did last year. Studying more, praying more, preaching more, teaching more, getting out and knocking on doors. And you know what? I don't know how to... I may not know how to talk to millennials, but we got a couple people back there that are millennials. I'm looking forward to knocking on doors and just inviting people to come to church. We don't have to go out there and be hardcore. Are you saved? Do you know that you're, if you were to die today, do you know you're going to heaven? We just need to go out and say, hi, I'm from Cornerstone Baptist Church. We're inviting people to come to church. You have a church home? That's all we need to do. You want to fill up these pews? Every one of us that's underneath the age of 75, I'm calling on you to go out soul winning with us this year. I say 75 because I don't want anybody 75 falling, as one of my mentors did a couple years ago. 3 years ago this year. And he hit his head. What was he doing? He was going and visiting a woman. And when he left, him and Brother Bell, and he walked down past the fields and he tripped, stumbled his feet, and hit his head. Kind of like my mom did. He's in heaven. I wouldn't want to yank him out of heaven for anything. But he was a good man of God. He'd call me up, hey, Brother Lee, how you doing? Just wanted to call and check on you. One of my mentors. See, you learn from pastors. And there's some good ones out there. And anyway, that's all I have for you tonight. Brother Mark, why don't you come on up and we'll just have a time where if anybody wants to come pray tonight, you can come pray. I don't want to shortchange anybody from that. So let's all stand. I went a few minutes over tonight, but this morning's message was walking with God, and tonight's message, the church. And so I hope that you got a blessing from it, but I know I got a blessing from it. I hope you did. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this night. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, God, that you got a hold of my heart back in 1997, 29 years ago, to be a follower of you. Not just to be saved, but to be a follower. And I thank you for that. Our lives changed. Our lives changed drastically to the good. And there's nothing better than to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for everybody that's underneath the sound of my voice right now. And I pray, God, that each one of us, none of us are perfect. We all have our flaws. But each one of us can make you preeminent in our lives. So I pray, God, that others would reach a point of what I reached, where that time came in my life where I had to make you preeminent. And my wife did as well. I'm so thankful, God, that you've given us that opportunity. And then you called me and Cheryl to the ministry. What a blessing. I look back at these years and to see so many lives that have been touched by your word, the authority of the church, the word of God. Help us, Lord, to have the greatest year yet that we've ever seen. I do pray for this senior ministry that we're going to touch with this month, and it's the 18th, not the 28th, folks. The 18th, 2 weeks. And Lord, help us to reach seniors that have maybe been forgotten, but we're not going to forget them. We want to go give them the opportunity to come to know Jesus as their Savior. Bless now this time of invitation. We ask in Jesus' name.